Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, October the 8th, 2021. 16 coming up on 17 minutes past the hour. And we are going to have a fun hour this hour. Because if you did not hear the news this week, Bozo the Clown, the legendary clown, probably the world's most famous clown, the rights to Bozo have been sold by Larry Harmon Productions to actor David Arquette. Now, this changes a whole lot of things, and we're going to get into that this hour. But this hour, we have one of our dear friends who's been on the show before. And at this point, in my opinion, my humble opinion, there are probably four Bozos that are known all across the United States. People who portrayed Bozo. Of course, we just lost the late Willard Scott. Of course, because of his position on the Today Show, he was known as a Bozo in Washington, D.C. throughout his career. Of course, Larry Harmon himself portrayed Bozo throughout his career. We know Larry Harmon, the late Larry Harmon. Bob Bell, who was the first Bozo on WGN, very well-known guy up on WGN. And the fourth is Joey DeOria, who portrayed Bozo on WGN from 1984 through 2001 after Bob Bell retired. Now, this is important because WGN from 84 to 2001 was a cable station. It was the infancy of cable television. So WGN was not just seen in the Chicago area as it was for most of Bob Bell's run, but it was seen nationally. So my guess is that Larry Harmon, Bob Bell, and Willard Scott are all associated with Bozo, but probably the Bozo that most people have seen in the United States is Joey DeOria. Now, he's also the only, unfortunately, the only, fortunately for him, the only living Bozo left. Person who portrayed Bozo. Of course, he's done many things since then and done many things before. Before we go live to Joey, just for some fun this morning, here's a spot from WGN's Bozo show circa 1989.
He's the one with the ton of fun. He's the ace with the crazy face.
A mouth smiles and a laugh in the air.
He's the clown that won't let you down.
I'm focused on Bozo, I'm focused on the ground. I'm radically, emphatically, in fact, I'm really focused on Bozo.
When he throws the pie, I'm really so focused on the sand pie. I'm really so focused.
Me and all the guys.
We really go focused. And talk about our biggest business, really get to really cool.
I think you're Bozo.
I'm Bonkers for Bones.
7 o'clock Wednesday mornings on Channel 9.
And we turn to Joey DeOria. Joey, how are you?
Hello, Scott. Good to hear you.
Yeah. When you hear that spot, what does it make you think of?
Well, the recording session for that was a tremendous amount of fun. All of that music was done by Andy Matran, who did the music on the Bozo show. His wife was a couple of the voices in it. And, I think it was about several days of taping to get all those little segments in there. which is a shame your audience can't see because this is radio.
And you know what, though? They can go to YouTube and search Bozo WGN 1989, and they can watch it.
Yes.
And
well,
that's you.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Joey, nobody I wanted to talk to more than you when I heard the news. Somebody even sent it to me as soon as it came out the other day. And this is a long story because we've done interviews over the years in regard to this character and mm-hmm. how it came to be and how it kind of went away the last few years and why you have not done it. And so a lot of this will be recounting, but it is a new story because if you haven't heard, David Arquette has bought the rights to Bozo from Larry Harmon Productions. When you heard,
I heard it myself yesterday. So there you go.
There you go. How? Well, what'd you think when you heard that?
Well, I thought it was terrific. For one thing, I think David Arquette is a very talented man, and he has a tremendous love for the character. And so I'll be very curious to see what he does.
Now, I want to get a little background. As you, as Bozo, how'd you get the job in 84? Bob Bell had been doing it. How did it come to you?
Well, it was very funny because an agent told me that they were holding auditions at KTLA in Los Angeles, and I looked her in the eye and said no, because I knew so many people who were mimes and jugglers and Venice Beach street entertainers and ex-circus clowns. I figured they'll see plenty of the right kind of people. It's really not for me. And then about 3 or 4 months later, my wife read an article that was reprinted from the New York Times in which the producer said the only people that auditioned were mimes, jugglers, Venice Beach street entertainers, and clowns. And what they needed was somebody who knew old vaudeville and burlesque comedy, which was what Bob Bell and Roy Brown had been doing. So I sent them my my videotape from The Tonight Show, in which I did my act, Dr. Flamo. And within a month, I got a phone call flying me out to Chicago to audition for the show. And the rest, as they say, is Bozo show history.
You know, Joey, I did the background there in the beginning, but because of the proliferation of cable television, people have to remember the years you were Bozo, 84 to 01, you were with Harry Carey there in Chicago. You sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game. You were on the national David Letterman show when he came to Chicago in the 80s, giving him a tour.
Mm-hmm.
As Bozo.
Yeah, we did a whole tour of the city of Chicago, David Letterman and I. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so your Bozo, I mean, I would have to say, and I'm going to ask you, it probably has been seen by more people than any other Bozo, wouldn't you think?
Well, we had a tremendous following. I mean, we received fan mail from Alaska and Hawaii, so that was always a surprise to us.
Being the last of the four, and if there's anybody I left out, remind me, how does that feel?
Well, there was Frank Arouche, who played Bozo the Clown in Boston. In fact, he, prior to Bob Bell, was probably the most famous Bozo the Clown. His station in Boston was involved with UNICEF, and Frank Arouche traveled the world as an ambassador for UNICEF as Bozo the Clown.
Oh, very interesting. Being the last living person who did it, who went to national acclaim, how does that feel?
Well, you know, it was the end of an era. This type of television show was pretty much extinct in 1984. The fact that Chicago and only a few other smaller markets were still producing an in-house children's show was quite amazing. And to do it on the scale of WGN was very exciting.
When you would get called to do something like the National David Letterman Show, what did you think, as Bozo?
Well, I thought it was funny. It was fun. I spent the whole day with David Letterman. It was very funny, though. At one point, we're on State Street in Chicago, and people see me and they yell, "Hey, where's Cookie?" And I went, "Oh, he must have fallen off the back of the truck." I mean, I would do gags like that. And David Letterman grabs me by the arm and says, "Everywhere I go, people say, 'Where's Paul Schaefer?'" He says, "Doesn't that drive you nuts?" And it's like, "No," I said, "because basically people feel they know you and they don't know really what to say, so they mention your sidekick." And he kind of agreed that that probably made sense. People want to say something to you even though they don't know you personally. So that was, you know, just a little something, a little connection, I guess, with your fans.
That's a great story. The Bozo history is interesting, and anybody can look it up online, you know, find a credible source and look it up. Alan Livingston's involved, Capitol Records is involved, Larry Harmon's involved, WGN's involved. But these relationships didn't always seem to be the best. There was a little bit of, what we say, friction over the years with Bozo and all those entities. Would you say that?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, people would do interviews with me, and I would mention Alan Livingston, and Harmon would get a little upset about that occasionally because he did not want any reference to Capitol Records or Alan Livingston. He basically wanted it known that Bozo was his creation. And basically what Harmon did was he reimagined Bozo from the Capitol Records and definitely made Bozo his own. But he didn't like references made to Alan Livingston. Alan Livingston, who I met on a couple of occasions, when Alan Livingston was given a lifetime achievement award by the Clown Hall of Fame in Baraboo, Wisconsin, he used to say it really didn't bother him that much because he had a lot of other credits to his name besides Bozo the Clown. I mean, he, as a young man, he got started with Capitol Records and created the record reader, the little books that came with a record attached, and you'd play the record and you'd hear Bozo say, "And when you hear the bell, turn the page." And that was what he invented. And you can still find, I think you can still find things like that in antique shops, not that kids use record players anymore. But I mean, Alan Livingston was a man who signed the Beatles to Capitol Records. He also brought Frank Sinatra to Capitol Records. So Bozo was just one of his many achievements. But I think over the years, it did grate on his nerves a little bit that Harmon was literally trying to erase him from history.
Well, and that's the story, and I think we all are aware of that through the years. Larry Harmon was the owner and also portrayed Bozo during your time and up until this week, apparently. Of course, Larry Harmon passed away many years ago, but his wife has been in charge of it, his company. What were your interactions during your 17 years with Larry Harmon?
I first met Larry Harmon in Hollywood, because I was living in Los Angeles at the time. After I was hired by WGN, I had to go to his office in Hollywood, and he had me measured for a wig, and WGN bought two wigs from a Larry Harmon, and that was it. I met with him. My most interesting first reaction to Larry Harmon was I looked at him and I said, "You know, everywhere I go, I see these no Bozo stickers on cars, bumper stickers. You know, it's Bozo with the in the circle with the red line through it." I said, "That must really make you angry." And he said, no. I've franchised that." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, that means no smoking and no drinking and no doing bad things, no doing things Bozo wouldn't approve of." And I thought that was very odd because I didn't think that was what it meant at all.
What did you think it meant?
I thought it meant no clowns.
Well, I guess that's up to each individual person at this point.
Well, there you go. It's up to your own interpretation.
Up to your own interpretation. There's an interesting story, and we talked about it at one point on the air, that while you were doing Bozo, who could have known that cable television would blow up as it did?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah, and you became national. As we say, you were on the David Letterman Show. You couldn't get any bigger than that in the 1980s and 90s. And Larry Harmon, let's just, what was his feeling toward this as you became so identified as Bozo?
Well, I know that it bothered him to a degree. He felt that any sort of national press should go to him. But the thing is, he couldn't have showed up in a Bozo suit and done that show with Letterman, because Letterman wanted it to be all Chicago. But you know, I never really had any conflicts with Larry Harmon per se, except when I did an interview and would give all the Bozo history and not just his abridged version.
That being said, when the Bozo show ended in 2001, and this is the last question involving the man Larry Harmon, you have not, to my knowledge, portrayed or done Bozo since then. Now, some of that is because of your own accord. You know, it's the past, and you move on. You're a great actor, great voiceover talent, still are. But there was not a warmish feeling at that point between you and the Harmon Company. Is that?
It really has nothing to do with a warmish feeling. Bozo belonged to the Harmons, and so it was not my property to take out and do any work as Bozo. Also, the rights to Bozo were still held by WGN. In fact, they still own my shoes, my costume, my wig, which they put on another WGN employee for parades. The thing that fascinates me is now that David Arquette owns Bozo, I wonder if WGN will still be allowed to have someone dress up as Bozo to be on the WGN float.
Well, no, this is interesting, and courtesy of WGN, David Arquette did an interview with them, I believe it was yesterday. We're not going to play
with Dean Richards.
With Dean Richards. We're just going to play a little bit of this, because I think it displays David Arquette's feeling towards Chicago and Bozo, and here's David Arquette on WGN, and we'll come back to Joey in a second.
From Capitol Records that created Bozo 75 years ago this month. And David Arquette joins us live this morning. Hello there, my friend.
David.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you guys?
Congratulations on the acquisition. What brought all of this on?
Sorry, there's somebody outside the window with the police door. Thank you so much. It's been 15 years in the making. I met Larry Harmon 15 years ago, and I fell in love with Bozo when I was a kid living in Evanston, Illinois. And Bob Bell's portrayal of Bozo was always just my favorite. It really just lit my heart up. And I want to bring that kind of joy to people of the world, and Chicago specifically. I've got a lot of plans for bringing Bozo back to Chicago. And one of the main plans in that is having a permanent museum there, because Larry Harmon saved a lot of his Bozo memorabilia, and I'd love to share it with the public.
What can we...
It sounds like Bozo might be in Chicago, Joey.
Well, I think what he means by that is that he's probably going to produce a Bozo museum. I don't think it sounds like he's going to produce a Bozo show.
No, I wouldn't think a Bozo show, but it does sound like this fascination with Bozo derived from living in the Illinois area.
That's true.
Yeah. What would you make of a Bozo museum? Would that be a popular stop in Chicago, in your opinion?
Well, I think so. I mean, Bozo was a tremendous... In my 17 years of doing the show, I've never seen a city take a character to its heart as much as it does Bozo. Chicagoans are fiercely loyal to anything that they deem specifically Chicago. The Cubs, the Bears, the White Sox, the Bulls, Bozo the Clown, Harry Carey. I mean, Chicago personalities, Chicago things that people feel are uniquely Chicago, Chicagoans love them. And it made, that's, I think that's part of what makes Chicago such a great city.
When it comes to Bozo, many people have portrayed him, and obviously each human being behind the character brings their personality to it, but are you given any sort of instruction when you become a Bozo that you can do this, you can't do this?
Well, two things. When I came in for my first interview, the producer of the show, Al Hall, basically said, don't do an imitation of Bob Bell. He wanted me to make Bozo uniquely my own. And that's pretty much what I did. My Bozo and Bob Bell's Bozo were in many ways similar. We were both, you know, smart Alex, and we were the instigators of mischief. But Bob Bell's Bozo, I think, was different from mine. In regard to do's and don'ts, when I went to WGN, I was told that there was a strict morals clause in my contract, which means, you know, I couldn't appear in a strip club or a burlesque hall or anything like that. So I mean, you know, you had to be a G-rated person. And fortunately, I always have been.
Who was Bozo? You create your own Bozo. Who was Bozo to you? What did you see that character as?
Well, believe it or not, I patterned a lot of what I did on Bugs Bunny.
Mischief.
You know, the smart aleck, the wise guy, the wisecracker, the fellow who's playing the tricks and all of that, because that's pretty much what I had to do. When Bob Bell did the show, he had a cast of three or four clowns plus a ringmaster. When I started the show, it was just me, Cookie, and Fraser Thomas. And within 3 months of my first year on the show, Fraser Thomas passed away. And I then had to be, you know, not only a clown, but I also had to be the announcer. I had to do the interviews. I had to do my job plus Frasier's. And as a result, I became more of an authority figure than Bob Bell was. Bob Bell wasn't really an authority figure. He was just another clown with a group of other clowns. But because he had Ned Locke to be the authority figure.
To you, how big was Bozo in the 80s?
Oh, I think it was still very big. It was surprisingly big.
There was a waiting list for tickets, wasn't there?
Oh, there was an enormous waiting list for tickets. At one point, they did a charity called the Grand March for Kids, and we did a toy drive. But then we were involved with the Off the Street Club. And what we did was we had a phone-in campaign for people to order tickets. Because what we did was, over my first several years, they stopped taking ticket requests so that they could thin out that 5-year waiting list that they had. And after they finally finished that up, they did this phone campaign, and people were charged, I think, $2 or $3 a phone call. And the money went to the Off the Street Club, and another small portion went to the phone company that set up the phone line. And we blew all the phone lines in Chicago.
How long did it take you to transform into Bozo?
Well, on a good day, if I had lots of time and was feeling relaxed, it would take me an hour. But if things were really hectic and busy, I could crank out the makeup in half an hour. But I generally preferred the more leisurely pace.
It does seem like when you see Bob Bell or you see Willard Scott or you see Larry Harmon doing Bozo, they all do a voice. It isn't their voice. And obviously talking to you, it's close. But it's not your voice. Where did you find Bozo's voice?
Well, the first week of the show, I patterned the voice on my former employer, Milt Larson, the man who created the Magic Castle in Hollywood. But then eventually I slipped into something a little more adenoidal, and according to my wife, there was a very thin line between Bozo and me, and over the years I slowly erased that line.
Well, can you give us a little bit of the Bozo voice?
The Bozo voice was right about here. It was nasal, kind of on the phony side, that sort of thing. But there was a sort of a cadence that had sort of that sort of laughing up his sleeve style of Bugs Bunny, which is how that later developed.
The grand prize game, what is your funniest memory from that? There had to have been hundreds.
Well, there were dozens, but I think one that just really stuck in my mind was the rule. When people came into the audience and the ushers were handing out the tickets, you know, we would not allow kids to play that were under, I believe it was under 8 years old, because we needed kids with enough eye-hand coordination and we didn't want babies being brought up there. And so ushers would tell me stories like, well, I'm handing out the tickets and I'm looking at this baby in this woman's arms and she's holding out her hand for a ticket. And I said, how old is he? And she says, what do you mean? He says, well, you have to be 8 years old. And the woman glared at him and said, he's eight. And so other than argue with them, they would give them the tickets. And every now and then we would get a two-year-old coming up there to play the game. Now, more often than not, it would slow the production down because we would pick a small child, and the child would be terrified and not want to leave his or her mother. But occasionally, we'd get a very gutsy toddler who would love to come up there, but would have no concept of the rules. And they would put the ball in bucket number one, then they would walk over and put the ball in number two, and then they would walk a little further and put it in number three, which was against the rule. Well, this would drive Frazier Thomas crazy. Frazier was a very stern believer in you have to follow the rules. And he was a stickler for that sort of thing. And I would be looking off camera, and he would be standing next to the cameraman making these motions like, hold her legs! Hold the kid in place! And I would just slowly shake my head no. I was not about to manhandle a child and force them to stay in place. And, you know, eventually the kid would miss around bucket. We would have a walker, they would never get any farther than bucket four, because by the time they got to bucket five, they'd be getting so excited they would just be flinging the ball wildly. But as I said to Frazier, after he complained at me for not holding the child in place, I said, do these prizes come out of your paycheck? And he went, no. I said, well, they don't come out of mine either. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't care.
Well, when it came to the introduction of the grand prize game, it was almost like an anthem for children.
Yeah.
Well, where did that come from?
Well, I believe that goes all the way. Well, actually, that goes back to Ned Locke. Ned Locke was the one who began it. He'd say, are you all set for lots of fun and fabulous prizes? And the audience would, of course, take up the cheer. And then he would do the grand prize game. And I believe it was Ned Locke who first did that. And when I first started with the show, Frazier Thomas was the one who did it.
When you did it, there was a higher emphasis than seemingly those two gentlemen.
Well, we really cranked up the audience, and people got very excited about the grand prize game. I mean, at one point, we were giving away trips to Disney World.
The show today is still thought of so happily in people's hearts 20 years ago, it went off the air. Mm-hmm. When you think about that, did you ever think 20 years ago that it would still be around so happily at this point?
Well, you know, people do cling to things. I mean, I remember television shows that I watched as a kid and had fond memories of. But in the case of Bozo never left Chicago. I mean, they stopped doing the weekly show, but every Chicago parade, they have Bozo on the float, and people still go wild to see him.
Would you ever want to do Bozo again?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm 69 years old, Scott. I'm a little old for that. I think that if there was to be another Bozo the Clown, I would like it to be a much younger person to maybe give the show a little more longevity. However, if there was to be a Bozo show, I would love to take part, either writing gags or helping in some way. I'd love to work with Robin Urich, who played Rusty the Handyman again. He was a very fine performer and an ex-Ringling clown.
And how's he doing?
Well, Robin, unfortunately, has had a number of health issues over the years. He's had cancer and several other challenges, but he still keeps active, and I'm very happy to say he's still going strong in the world of comedy. He has a comedy partner that he works with, a very talented young lady by the name of Karen Bell.
Did you ever think that the Larry Harmon company would let this character go?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, Larry Harmon was not a young man when I first met him. I will tell you an interesting story, though. Back when I took over for the show, I took over for Bob Bell, my first week, I get a call from the general manager to come up to his office. So I come up to his office, and he's smiling like a loon. And he has five letters in envelopes on his desk, and he pushes them towards me. And I said, pick one up and read it. I said, oh, okay. So I picked up the first one, and I opened it. And it said, Dear WGN, we absolutely hate the new Bozo. Get rid of him. Bring back Bob Bell. And I'm looking at the manager at this. And he says, don't bother with the other four. They're just as bad. And I'm sitting there going, uh-huh. And he said, the thing is, this is all the hate mail we got. He says, which means, as far as I'm concerned, you're a success. He said, the general opinion was, if they got 100 letters that said they hated me, they'd figure that was okay. If they got 150, they'd be a little nervous, and if they got over 300, they were going to fire me.
And a five was all they got.
Yeah, and five was all they got.
Hey.
And he then told me that they were so, WGN and the Tribune Company were so happy with the job I was doing, they contacted Larry Harmon. And they said, the Tribune Company would like to buy Bozo. Back then, Tribune was going to buy it, and they were literally going to make it a national show. And they were talking to Harmon about it because they said that from what I hear, they offered him an exorbitant amount of money, and then they were going to pay him the same amount every year for the rest of his life. And Harmon turned it down.
Why do you think that was?
Harmon was, I think he was just very much, Bozo was very much a part of Harmon. And I think Harmon did not want to give up a part of himself. And, you know, he was still franchising products and all of that. And I don't think he was ready to retire.
when it came to the anecdote that you had referenced earlier about Larry Harmon not being so happy that you were becoming so recognized as Bozo, do you think that was because he was a Bozo at one point?
Well, yes, because basically, Harmon talked about all the other actors who played Bozo as extensions of himself, you know, which I found kind of confusing, because in each and every town where there was a Bozo, in Washington, D.C., Willard Scott was the Bozo. In Boston, Massachusetts, Frank Avruche was the Bozo. In New York, here was another Bozo you left out, Carol Spinney, the fellow who later became Big Bird. He was a Bozo the Clown.
You know, being that all these other gentlemen have went on to their reward in life, I'm sure they would all be interviewed this week at some point or another by somebody, because this was big news this week.
This was very big news.
Big news. You're the one left with us.
Yeah, the last clown standing.
The last clown standing, as it were. What does that mean to you at this point? Because honestly, your opinion does mean something to the listeners out there, because even though David Arquette is now the owner, everybody's gone except you.
I have no skin in the game, as they say. Bozo was not my property. Bozo does not belong to me. The only thing that belongs to me are my memories of being on WGN. All I can really say is whatever David Arquette does, I know he's a very fine man, and he has a tremendous love for the character. I think he's going to do a tremendous job.
Being that during the Larry Harmon years, and as long as his production company owned that character, you have not done anything as Bozo, and did not even voice, your voiceover actor didn't voice Bozo.
Right.
Your voice is recognized with Bozo closer than anybody else's because of WGN. Would that be something you would do in a cartoon, an animation?
If they went with animation, I think that would be terrific. I'd love to do animation. I'd love for years. I during the years that I was living in L.A. After the show ended, I often wondered why, since so many things have been brought back, why Larry Harmon never bothered to try to produce a new cartoon series.
That being said, what do you think there's more of a possibility today of that because of David Arquette owning the character than there would have been a month ago, still being owned by the Harmon Company?
Well, I don't know what David Arquette's plans are, except for this museum, and I think he's doing an interactive show that opens in Brooklyn next month. I'm not quite sure what he plans to do with the character, but if he was planning to do an animated show, I think a lot of it would depend on who he ended up casting as Bozo.
If this museum does open up in Chicago, which I have no reason to believe it will not, and who knows what the time will take on that, would you get in the rig one more time if you were asked for that?
Well, You mean Bozo?
Yeah, would you be Bozo at the opening? Maybe a little publicity tour for the opening of it, being the last nationally known Bozo alive at this point.
I don't know. I'd have to think about it. But I mean, if David Arquette asked me, I certainly wouldn't turn him down.
That is good. I I'll go on. We don't go on record a lot on this show, but if you are not there, if not as Bozo, not there as a huge part of that, there's a mistake somewhere along the way.
Well, I thank you, Scott. That's very kind of you to say. I'm sure that if he's putting together a retrospective of Bozo, I will be there. They'll probably have some of the props and costumes and maybe even some video from some of my shows. Not that WGN saved a whole heck of a lot.
Well, and it would be, would it be some closure? It sounds funny, but would it be some closure in your way to do it one more time at this point in your life? not on a regular basis, not every day, but just to get in it one more time, be that voice.
I wouldn't call it closure, but it would be fun to do it one more time, and it would be nice to see some of my old friends again, Andy Matran, Robin Urich, Michelle Gregory, who played Tunia. She was a lot of fun. Kathy Schenkelberg, who played Pepper. These are still some people who are still out there and working in show business who I know would love to be back there too.
And, you know, I know David Arquette is big into Broadway right now. You're a fantastic stage actor. Hey, Bozo the Broadway musical. There you go.
Bozo the musical. I love it.
That would fill him up. That would fill him up because of that character and the great portrayal that you would have of Bozo.
You know, I got to tell you, Scott, I would have laughed at you saying that, but after they did SpongeBob the musical, who knows what's possible?
Why not? If the money's right, you'd get in it then. Why not?
Yeah.
Some quick question just about the character. Does Bozo need an update in any way for 2021?
No, I really don't think so, only because basically Bozo was what he is. He's a clown, and I know that clowns over the past few years have received a lot of bad press. I think that it's about time that maybe a more positive clown image was presented, and I think Bozo is just the guy to do it.
In this world of Fragment and YouTube and everything else we've got going on, can Bozo be as popular as it was in the 80s, 90s, 60s, 70s?
I don't know. That's a very difficult question. I mean, when I first started doing Bozo, cable was in its infancy. But nowadays, if you look at your television, there are so many things for kids to watch from animation to live action. There is so much kid content out there that I don't know. I think Bozo would be one more thing. I don't think that he would have the market share that he did back in the 80s, but I think he'd probably give Pound Puppies a run for their money.
You know, when we look at this in the last 3 minutes we have here, and I'm not, I don't think it's been reported what David Arquette paid for this. Maybe it has somewhere. But is it because Bozo is a celebrity? And Bozo never dies. Bozo is like Santa Claus.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is this the rejuvenation this character needed? We don't know what David Arquette will do, but for a long time, I mean, really, since you stopped doing it, there hasn't been a whole lot of Bozo talk.
No. Well, you know, I think Larry Harmon developed something that he felt worked, and by golly, it did. But Bozo, I think, for many years had been stuck in the 1950s. And I think David Arquette will make Bozo a clown for the new century. So I think that Bozo's ready to go. I wish him all the luck in the world.
Well, you know, and I think my thought, as a lot of people's thoughts are, is that because Larry Harmon was a Bozo, because he had the little tiff with Capitol Records that lasted so long, that his perspective on the character was a little different than I think David Arquette, who I think just wants everybody to see this character again, it seems like, in his interviews. So I think maybe the chains that have been on Bozo in some ways over the last 20, 30 years may come up a little bit. Am I wrong in that impression?
No, I don't think so. I think David Arquette will look at Bozo through new eyes. Granted, these are eyes that are dimmed slightly with nostalgia, but I think he's just the guy to have some fun with it, and I think that that's the important thing about Bozo, and that was the sense of fun. Roy Brown, the late Roy Brown, used to constantly say to me that Bozo wasn't a kids' show; it was a family show. We did gags not only for the kids, but we did gags that the adults got too. And Roy said that that if you have fun doing what you're doing, you'll never work a day in your life. And Roy Brown was a great proponent of not working.
And I do want to, because I don't think we've mentioned his name, maybe we did, but a gentleman who came to Marion, Ohio here and did a show for us, boy, it's been 15 years ago now, who's no longer with us, the wonderful Marshall Brodeen as Wizzo.
Oh my goodness, Marshall, what a guy.
One of the best men, he was just unbelievable, and we could do hours on him. But to wrap this up, Joey, and I say, when I sent the request to you, I said, nobody I want to talk to this week more than you, and that even includes David Arquette in this particular situation. How does Joey D'Aria feel about this today?
I feel very happy, actually. I kind of felt that Bozo was disappearing, and when Larry Harmon passed away, I figured either someone else is going to buy it or Bozo is just going to fade away. I will say this for Larry Harmon, and I must say this in all sincerity: Capitol Records was getting rid of their children's record division. And if Larry Harmon back then had not purchased Bozo the Clown from them, I think Bozo would have vanished into history.
And the only final question we can ask today, what would Bozo feel about this news?
In deference to Larry Harmon, I believe the response would have been "Wowie kazowie," but I think it's great news, and I think Bozo is waiting for an opportunity to get back in the ring.
Joey, can we end with the grand prize game introduction in the Bozo voice?
Well, all right, here we go.
Are you all set for lots of fun and fabulous prizes? Oh, well, so am I, because it's now time to play Bozo's Grand Prize Game!
Joey, you are a talent and have been a pal, and I know we will talk again. Thank you, Joey.
Okay, thank you, Scott. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, there you go. No more fun than that. Coming up next, the Pastor Spot.
3:15, we take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going, and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. The Mary